Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Stories of the New Testament, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 48 is entitled The Betrayal.
In last week's episode, we explored the anointing. In this week's episode, we shall explore the betrayal. Because of the principle of opposition, because Christianity deals with mortality and immortality, good and evil, God and Satan, freedom and captivity, the omniscience of God versus the limitations of mortal man, Christianity is filled with paradox. For example, when Christ called his apostles, he knew which one would betray him. In John 6:64, we are told, "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." Yet Christ still called Judas to one of the highest callings in the church. Christ knew that David, whose psalms are like the voices of angels, would commit murder and marry Bathsheba, and their son Solomon would become king. Yet he chose David. The inability to resolve paradox has led many to turn against God. The betrayal of Jesus is a grand paradox and is a symbol of the paradoxes inherent in Christianity.
Matthew 26:17-18. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples."
Christ is going to his death, and he knows it. Since the Passover was to be eaten inside the walls of Jerusalem, this must have been a miracle to find a room prepared that was so large. One can only imagine the throngs of people. The terseness of the Bible carries power, for one is forced to read between the lines. From this point on, everything happens quickly. One can only imagine the intensity of the following conversation.
Matthew 26:19-21. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me."
Judas has already betrayed the Savior. Following the anointing, Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Apparently, he hasn't received the silver yet, for Matthew records, they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. It was an oral agreement. Perhaps he is caught by surprise that his betrayal is known by the Savior. The chilling thought, however, sends fear through the other disciples.
And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?"
Of course, none of the disciples save one could have known that Christ had already been betrayed. However, even the Savior does not keep it a secret, as if he is trying to give Judas a chance to repent.
And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me."
Did he whisper that to only those disciples who were closest to him? If so, he kept it no longer to himself. He made it abundantly clear to Judas and to all the other disciples.
"The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said."
That would have made anyone chill to the bone. the threat itself to someone who had witnessed for himself the miracles of Christ, who had heard his sermons, who had been taught the prophecies, who knew he could raise people from the dead, who knew that he could walk on water, turn water to wine, heal the sick, who knew that everything Christ said had proven a prophecy. How could anyone who walked daily with the Master betray the Master? To us, it seems incomprehensible. Much earlier, in the great intercessory prayer, Judas is referred to as a son of perdition.
John 17:11-12. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
Perdition, the lowest title, was generally reserved for Satan.
2 Thessalonians 2:2-4. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Only someone who is very high can sink so low as to become a son of perdition. Only Christians qualify, and very, very few of them. Note how Isaiah describes the fall of Lucifer, who was formerly known as the Shining One.
Isaiah 14:12-15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit.
Perdition is mostly reserved for the angels in heaven who fell with Lucifer.
Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Revelation 12:4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born.
Perdition is reserved only for those who become sons of perdition, or children of Satan. They had to know the full power of God and still defy him. They alone remain in hell forever, for they rejected the only one who could save them.
Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is.
Later, in the Garden of Gethsemane, comes the final betrayal by Judas.
Matthew 26:46-48. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast.
It is as if Judas is afraid of the Savior, else why would he say, hold him fast? Is it because he knows that Christ has supernatural power? Is that all Christ meant to him, a person of supernatural power? Did he know, like the other apostles, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Savior and Redeemer of the world? Did Judas know of his divine mission and that all this was fulfillment of prophecy? Mark, another eyewitness, gives a slightly different account.
Mark 14:44. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely.
Luke gives perhaps the most often quoted version.
Luke 22:47-48. And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of God with a kiss?
For me, one of the most chilling parts of the story of Judas Iscariot is that one event, which took but a moment, can alter a person's life forever, as well as alter history. The moment could not be taken back. John tells us that Judas was possessed by Satan. Perhaps that is what made him a son of perdition.
John 13:23-27. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly.
That raises an important theological question. At what point does man forfeit his free will and give himself entirely over to the enticement of Satan? Satan is the only explanation that explains the bizarre betrayal of Judas, who walked daily with Christ and was one of his anointed ones, called as a divine witness to the world of the divinity of Christ. Suddenly his triumph turned to ashes. There are conflicting accounts of the death of Judas, though both account it to suicide. In Matthew 27 we read,
Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me.
In Acts 1, in the account of Luke, we read,
Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Asseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.
I suppose in secular literature, no author is more deferred to than Dante in accounting for the Christian perception of the fate of Judas. In Dante's Inferno, there are 9 levels of hell, the 9th being the lowest. The lowest level of hell is named after Judas Iscariot. In the middle is Satan himself, his lower half frozen in ice. Satan, his bat-like wings ever fanning frozen wind, freezing all occupants in the 9th level of hell in ice. Satan has 3 faces. In one of his mouths he holds Judas, who next to Lucifer is the greatest betrayer of God's trust of all. All those condemned to the 9th level of hell live in eternal isolation, frozen in ice forever, speechless, barred from all contact with others. However, even with Dante's fertile imagination, the greatest condemnation of Judas Iscariot comes from the Savior himself, when, as mentioned earlier, in the intercessory prayer he said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled."
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.